This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am so delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. I am so grateful to God for the opportunity to come into fellowship with you via the airwaves as we talk about those very important issues that apply to our life of faith and our life in common as the mystical body of Christ at this moment in time. We always invite you to give us a call here, and I'm going to do that right now. We've got a toll-free number for you. If you're in North America, it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and punch in those numbers and join us live here, where we do love to have that holy conversation with you. We have Ryan Penny answering the phones today, and he's eager to hear from you. Let him know if you're a first-time caller, and I'll do this. I will ring my first-time caller bell to welcome you to Women of Grace for the very first time, which we always hope will not be your last time calling in with your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. If you're unable to call but are able to communicate a message to us, you can do that out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can see us there. Yep, I'm waving to you right now. And we invite you to use that chat feature. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will go out there and he will grab your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and he will put it up on the air for me here, and we will be able to take that. And we look forward to that as we proceed through our program today. All kinds of things to talk about. I want to let you know about something really, really wonderful that's going to be taking place on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. That's December the 12th. We will be having a beautiful online retreat for Advent. And we're incorporating Our Lady of Guadalupe into that. And it's going to be lovely. It is Rejoice in the Lord Always from Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice, right? Dismiss all anxiety from your mind, it says in that passage. We're going to be talking all about the way in which we can enter into this season of Advent, find there solace, comfort, consolation. But in addition to that, to deepen our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ by way of our Blessed Lady. This is so much at the heart of Women of Grace. It's so much at the heart of what we strive to do through our spiritual formation programs, including our Benedicta Institute for Women, as well as the online retreats that we sponsor and the conferences that we've had online during this COVID season, and all of the things that we're able to do in person when we are able to do things in person. Our foundational study, our study for young women of grace, our outreaches in varieties of ways. But I do want to let you know that this Advent online retreat is open to men and women. So, we want you to come. We certainly do. Oftentimes, we have gentlemen saying, well, when are you going to do something for men? Well, here you go, guys. We have this online retreat coming up. And it is, how do I want to say it? It is a beautiful opportunity for the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's the best way to put it. We have lovely speakers coming, some of whom we've had in the past, and I think all of them you know. Father Peter John Cameron, he is going to be with us. Thomas K. Sullivan is going to be with us. Susan Brinkman is going to be with us. I'm going to be with you. And guess who else? Dr. Edward Sree. We're so excited to have Dr. Edward Sree joining us for this beautiful time. Incorporated into this Advent retreat is a healing rosary that we will pray in the Saturday evening. But, all through the course of the retreat, we are going to be looking at various reflections and meditations from the joyful mysteries, which is the mysteries that we will pray for our healing rosary. And that's in addition to the talks that will be going on. So that's going to come sort of like at the break times. It's a beautiful schedule. First time we're doing it this way, and I'm really excited about it. It was Thea Parsons who coordinates all of our events for us, and as well as participating by inviting our guests for our television programs. She is my daughter, and she came up with this idea, and I just thought it was absolutely beautiful. So we're going to do it. And we have a beautiful quotation that I think kind of encapsulates out, and it comes from Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And he says this: how to find Christmas peace in a world of unrest? He says, you cannot find peace on the outside, but you can find peace on the inside by letting God do to your soul what Mary let him do to her body, namely, let Christ be formed in you. And that really is the theme in its essence. It is also, I think, the direction that we're taking this beautiful time that we will spend together. All of the information is available for you out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. We invite you to go out there and you'll see it. It's number one in the slideshow. Click on it again. That is a landing page. It'll take you to a fuller explanation of the retreat. The retreat schedule is up there for you as well, so you'll know what's going on and when. And we invite you to attend. We really do. We are eager to have you join us for this beautiful, beautiful online retreat. We really should be intentional, you know, about the way in which we approach the Lord and the way in which we seek to find our life in His life. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Father Emil Newbert. I just love him so much. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. And I just am looking forward to that. It's going to be great. I just hope that I have an opportunity to enter into a conversation with him. There's so many people I want to meet in heaven. I just don't even know what to say. But he is certainly at the high end of my list, let me tell you. And he talks with us in his beautiful book, My Ideal Jesus, Son of Mary, which I highly recommend to you in every way, shape, and form. My Ideal Jesus, Son of Mary. I do believe that this is going to form the backbone of my movement through this beautiful season. And he talks in there about the fact that we should make use of the opportunities for retreats, right? And he says that this is one of the ways in which we grow in the Lord. And I'm moving through this book very quickly here because I would love to read you what he says. And the way in which this book is set up is a dialogue format. And the dialogue format is between Jesus and the soul and between our Blessed Mother and the soul. And this particular paragraph that has to do with the retreats is Mary speaking to us through the pen, if you will, of Father Emil Newbert. And I know that this came from his own life of prayer, but he writes this, and it's Mary's voice that he offers it to us in. Finally, at certain intervals, you must devote more time to the interests of your soul. Each year, endeavor to make a few days of retreat, or at least employ the free moments of several days in closer intimacy with Jesus and me. During that time, think over once more the instructions we have given you. Examine yourself to discover why you have not made more headway during the past year and how you will make more progress during the coming year. Isn't that perfect for Lent? So we're offering you that very opportunity. Yes, we are, through this beautiful retreat that's coming up December the 12th. All of the info at womenofgrace.com. You can register right there. We like to make it easy breezy for you. When we come back, phone lines. Yes, sirree, Bob. Phone lines. So please do call us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Coming right back, Johnette Williams. This is Women of Grace Live. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are delighted to have you with us today. We certainly are, and I'm inviting you to give us a call here. Let me give you the toll-free number. It is for you, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. If you're in North America, just punch in these numbers, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary out there in social media land asked, what was the name of the book that I recommended? And I said, it is, and I'll hold it up for you, Mary. This is a very well-worn foreign copy, My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary by Father Emil Neubert. Now, this particular one is published by TAN, but the Academy of Mary Immaculate also publishes it. It looks a little different, but the contents are the same. So I invite you to get out there and order it. I'm not really sure if EWTN Religious Catalog carries it or not, but you might check there first. That's EWTNRC.com. It's a great book, beautiful book, you know, really and truly. It's very formational in our spiritual life. So we invite you to check this out. But all of that being said, apparently somewhere along the line here, I said Lent instead of Advent. I apologize for that. I know it's Advent, but, you know, it has been a rather purgatorial time. So I don't think that it's outside of the realm of possibility that it's feeling more like Lent than Advent in some ways. You know, there is a penitential aspect to Advent. And I was delighted to hear that at Mass this weekend. You know, our priest, Father Jerebik, who is the rector of our cathedral here, Cathedral Parish, mentioned that. He said, you know, there is a penitential aspect to Advent. We don't hear that anymore very much. What we typically hear is it's a time of preparation and a time of anticipation. It certainly is that. Don't want to downplay that. But how do we, as Catholics, prepare ourselves? How do we fill ourselves with holy anticipation? We do it through fasting. We do it through penitential acts. So I really want to encourage you to think about that. This is something that's been forgotten since the Second Vatican Council, but it was quite much a part of the church's consciousness about this season prior to that time. And I remember as a little girl being taught by the religious sisters that, you know, they would ask us, what are you giving up for Advent? Just as they would ask us that question about Lent. So I want you to think about that. What acts of charity will you move forward with, you know, during this time? How will you go out of your way, really, to sacrifice so that there is room in your heart to receive the Christ child? What will we get rid of, you know? What are the attachments that we have that we need to detach from? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? And in this way, you know, we are then really in the heart of the season. We're in the heart of the season. And I think about that in reference to our Blessed Lady and Saint Joseph, you know, as they sojourned to Bethlehem for the census when Our Lady was 9 months pregnant with our Lord, carrying him in her womb. That was penitential. You know, that was obviously it was imposed upon them, but we have a lot imposed upon us right now too. So how can we take that which is being imposed upon us and make this part of our journey toward Christ coming at Christmas time? You know, what attitude can we shift from and shift toward? You know, there's a lot that's been going on that has changed our lifestyle. We certainly don't want this to be a permanent change, although there are voices out there saying that it will be. We don't want it to be that. We don't want for our freedoms to be taken away from us. We don't want that. But maybe as we make this Advent journey to the creche of the Christ child, we can be looking at this time and saying, how can I offer this to the Christ child as a gift, even as I grow in the virtues that I need to grow in to attend to this time well? I'll give you one that I need to grow in. I need to grow in patience. I am very impatient about all of this. And so I need to grow in patience. And it would behoove me to be asking the Lord to give me opportunities to practice patience, because that's the way that he teaches us. You understand that, of course. When you tell the Lord you want to grow in a virtue, he gives you opportunities to do what? Practice the virtue. So, you know, I had a friend once who told me, you know, don't pray for patience. She says, because the Lord will give you tribulation to practice it. Well, we have a whole bunch of tribulation around us right now that can become the holy stuff that we can employ, you know, to grow in virtue. It's not holy in and of itself, but we can, in a certain way, make it beneficial for our growth in holiness, and then it becomes holy opportunity. Okay. And maybe we should be looking at that. You know, let's talk about that a little bit in our program today. In what way do you think that you need to grow in virtue? How can that growth in virtue in and of itself become for you a journey to the creche of the Christ child? And how can we be intentional about it? Very, very intentional about it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have holy conversation with you. I have some good news for you that I want to share. You'll remember that last week, Jack Williams came on the program to tell us about Barbara McGuigan. She is a longtime host here at EWTN, both on television, where she hosted for years Religious Catalog, as well as The Good Fight, which you hear on Catholic radio here at EWTN every Saturday. And she was hospitalized with coronavirus and had developed pneumonia. Well, here is the good news. We asked you to pray. We did. We asked you to pray, and I know that your prayers were efficacious in helping this to come about, but Barbara is going home. And we thank you, Jesus. She's going home to her house, not to heaven. She's going home to her house, and we're abundantly grateful to God for her swift and quick recovery. And it goes again to show us that, you know, God cannot be outdone in generosity, and God hears our prayers. And I know that many of you have been praying for her, and we are delighted to be able to share with you that good news. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available to you out there in social media land. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you. Did you know that you can leave messages for us on our listener comment line? And we invite you to do that. Your questions and comments, your insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement can be left there. We always love hearing from you there. Let me give you that number. It's available to you 24/7. It is country code 1, if you're outside of North America, 205-795-5773. That's country code 1, 205-795-5773. In addition to that, we want you to know that you can email your questions to us. You use this address, Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Inviting you to send your emails to us there. If it is a prayer request, please do note in the subject line that it is a prayer request. We love to pray with you on the air. You know, we always take your prayer requests here when we can, and we invite you to call us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Asked you a question, eager to hear your answer. How is it that you need to grow in virtue, and how can you make this Advent season a journey of growth in virtue as you make your way to the creche of the Christ child? I think it's a good question. I shared with you being patient during this time of coronavirus, being patient with it, especially being patient with the mask. I don't know how you feel about that, but I find them quite cumbersome, and frankly, it's difficult for me to breathe with them. So I have to be very careful the kind that I use so that I can get enough oxygen into my lungs. So, you know, what aspects of this time have been difficult for you? What virtue do you need to grow in, and how can that help you grow in holiness of life? We really do want to know that. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We are available for you here. Yeah, this book, you know, written by Father Emil Neubert, is one of many books that he's written. And all of these books, I think, help for us to enter more deeply into this union with our Blessed Lady that Jesus, our Lord, would have us have. And, you know, I know oftentimes many people who are not Catholic, you know, really struggle with Our Lady, really struggle with her. And I think that that's because of the many misconceptions that have been propagated in the last centuries since the, Reformation. As it was called, but you know, I'm not sure that anything much was reformed in the sense of helping Christians. There were a lot of misconceptions that were forwarded in time about our Blessed Lady, and these misconceptions have been passed on familially, but also within the context of the Protestant denominations through preaching. And there really is an anti-Mary spirit that's involved with that. And I have to say that this is obviously a very unholy spirit. It's not coming from heaven. It isn't. Because heaven loves our Blessed Lady. I mean, God the Father chose Mary to be the mother of his Son from before the very foundations of the world were laid in place, just as he chose you and as he chose me. And just as he has a special mission for each one of us for this moment in history, he had a special message for Our Lady as well, a special mission that was going to impact the world. And, you know, to think otherwise is number one, folly. I've even heard it said that Mary was just a vessel. She was nothing more to God than a vessel. That is so untrue. Absolutely so untrue. And you can go to the book of Revelation and you can discover that that isn't the case whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation, you know, all is about a mystical experience, a vision that St. John the Apostle had when he was on the island of Patmos. And what God revealed to him is what happened before time began. And so God is making clear to St. John in this vision, you know, what his great and holy plan was, and what his plan remains for his people. And part of that, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, you're going to find out in verse 7 that there was a great war that happened in the heavenlies, and Michael and his angels fought against the angel Lucifer. And he goes on, and his name is changed in that chapter to Satan, and he calls him the dragon, the serpent, right, who was thrown down to earth, right, with the angels that followed him. Did you ever really wonder what it was that caused that to happen? Do you ever really think about what is it that caused that war in heaven? Well, if you just go forward in Revelation 12, you find out. And it tells you that there was a great portent that appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with a sun, with 12 diadems in her crown. And it goes on to describe this woman in detail and to describe the one whom she would give birth to. And what God was showing there, God was showing the angels what his plan was, that he was going to send his son, and his son would come in the flesh, and he would come by way of this woman who is clothed with a sun, S-U-N, and with a crown upon her head. She's royalty. Why? Because the one whom she would bring would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She's queen. And she is the Queen Mother. God intended for her, and he took care, he took care, he took care, he took care to create her according to the mission that he would entrust to her. And if you go into the Old Testament and you read about the construction of the Ark of the Covenant, you read about the particularity that God employed and shared with Moses, that every measurement would be exact, every type of stone that would be used, every type of gem that would be used, everything was exact, was specific, because we know what would be housed, right, in that Ark of the Covenant, the manna, the rod of Aaron, and the tablets upon which the Ten Commandments were written. And what do all of those point to? Who is the fulfillment of the manna? Jesus. Who tells us in John 6 that he is the bread of life. Simeon prophesies that the one who was brought to the temple by our Blessed Lady and Saint Joseph, their child, what about him? He would be the cause for the rising and the fall of many. He would be the king, the ruler in the line of David. And so that rod of Aaron's points to Jesus and the Ten Commandments. Who is the fulfillment of the old covenant? Jesus. Now, if all of those were placed in the Ark of the Covenant as the sign pointing to the one who would come, the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, then what about the ark itself? To whom does that ark point? Who is the one who would carry Christ? Who is the one who would be impregnated, fecundated by the Holy Spirit? Who would that one be? Who is that woman? It's the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if God was so particular about that ark that would carry the signs of Jesus, how particular must he have been in the beautiful creation of the reality of the ark of the new covenant, Our Lady. And what did that ark of the old covenant point to? Jesus. Who does the ark of the new covenant point to? Jesus. Mary always points us to her son. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us today. We are eager to hear from you. We have Tim with us in Goose Creek, South Carolina. We're going to take his call and maybe hold him over through the break. Sirius XM 130 is the way Tim is joining us. Oh, you hear that music. Tim, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. We're going to come to you right after this break. No sense in starting the call right at this moment. So we ask you to hold on, and I'm inviting you to join Tim, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have that holy conversation with you. You can also use our social media way of getting in touch with us. Go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and Jeff Burson will grab it. Be sure to let Ryan Penny know if you're a first-time caller so I can ring that bell, and I'll be ringing it for Tim when we come back, inviting you to stay with us. I am Johnette Williams. This is Women of Grace Live. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are delighted you are with us. We certainly are inviting you to give us a call here. Let me give you the toll-free number. It's available for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. Ryan Penny will say howdy hey, and you'll say howdy hey back. And let him know if you're a first time caller so we can take your call. Also available for you, or I can ring my bell. Also available for you out there is EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And we certainly do invite you to use that opportunity to communicate with us too. The chat feature there provides you a space for your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We have Tim with us. He's in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Johnette. I come with a prayer request.
Okay.
My wife, Linda, 42 years now, she was diagnosed this last week with lung cancer.
Oh, Tim.
She is not a good candidate for surgery. They say that radiation will be the next step for the treatment if they can't do something between the pulmonary people and the anesthesiologists.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to pray that they can do the best they can for her.
Of course you do, Tim. Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and Tim and I and all of our listeners, I'm asking all of you to join in prayer. You are such powerful intercessors. I'm telling you, God hears your prayers, and they are answered. And we thank you, Lord, for that gracious, gracious generosity. Father, we lift up Linda to you in this moment, and you hear your son Tim's voice, and you hear the worry and the concern in it. And yet we know that you are the God of all things. We know, God, that there is nothing impossible with you. Father, we know that you long to show us your generosity, but your providence as well and your protection. And it thrills you to offer that to us, to gift us with it. And so when we pray to you, Lord, we're praying to the great reality that you are Father. And that as Father, you want only the best things for your children. And Father, we know that disease is not part of your divine plan for us. We know that the disease of cancer is not part of your divine plan for us. We know, Father God, that death is not part of your divine plan for us. And so it is now, Father, that we pray that you would enlighten the minds and the hearts of all of those doctors that are consulting right now regarding Linda's case. We ask, Father God, that basically they don't see this as a case, but they see Linda as your daughter. Your daughter, who you have entrusted to them. We ask that same openness of heart and mind that so marks you to infinitude would mark them as they determine the best plan of action to restore Linda's health to her completely and totally. I ask that one drop of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ would now flow through Linda's body, especially into her respiratory system, into her lungs, into every artery, into every vein, into every cell. Healing it from all disease, from any bacteria or infection, from any threat of pneumonia or anything else that could complicate her circumstance. Father, we ask that her body would be made ready to receive whatever treatment plan that doctors deem is the best. Surgery has been ruled out. Radiation has been suggested as the path. And so we would ask that her body would be receptive to that treatment. We ask that there would be no residual effects of that treatment to the negative. We ask that if this be the means that you wish to use, Father, to bring her to fullness of health, that nothing would thwart your plan for her. Of course, Father, in total confidence, we dare to ask for a complete and total healing. We know you can do it. We don't for one moment doubt your power, nor do we doubt your desire. And so, Father, in the infinitude of love that you have for your daughter, Linda, we ask for a complete and total healing, miraculously, we would prefer, but through any method that you know is the best, not only for Linda's body, but for her soul. And so may this time become a holy time for her, a holy time for Tim. May it bind them together more tightly than they've ever been bound before. May the moment of this situation become for them a strengthening agent for their marital bond. And we trust and know that you work all things to the good for those who have been called according to your purposes. And Linda surely has been. And so it is, with trust and faith and hope and confidence, that we humbly offer this prayer to you, Father, asking, seeking, and knocking for your blessings to abound in the midst of it all. And before Father, we say amen, I just want to ask for special graces for Tim, that you would strengthen him to be a helpmate to her during this time, that he would be that stronghold to whom she can turn to see your face. We ask that every spiritual blessing in the heavens that he needs would rain down upon him. We do offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, to the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome, Tim. Hey, listen, will you do me a big favor? Will
yes,
you keep
I will.
Us informed? Will you keep us informed?
Yes, I will. I have
okay, because you know I'm...
I will.
Goody. Thank you. I'll be tucking her into my rosary.
We met you in Jacksonville. And,
did you?
She asked you to pray for me for my diabetes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, we're happy to pray for
my
her now.
My diabetes has been good, so I appreciate you praying for her.
Oh, amen. Well, it's a privilege, and just keep us informed, okay?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. Lots to pray for, right? We have Diane with us. She's in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Station of the Cross is the way she's listening. Hey, Diane, how are you?
Good morning, Jeanette. I'm doing well, and thank you for your work. You're doing God's work, and you inspire me and you strengthen me in all of your holy words. Thank you.
Oh, may it be so, and may God be praised for it all.
So my brief story, I called you 2 years ago when, through the power of prayer, my husband and I had our marriage made a sacrament after 30 years, which was, to me,
beautiful.
An amazing miracle. Since then, I've had some serious health problems, not as bad as Tim's wife. God bless him. I'm praying for Tim's wife now. So much. Thank you for that prayer for her. But it was a spinal cyst that after months of agony and through devout prayer, my husband and I, the cyst disappeared. I did not need surgery. So in my mind, that was an absolute miracle through the power of the rosary and asking Our Lady to intercede for us.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful story, Diane. Thank you so much for sharing it, because we need these stories to hold on to hope as we move through this very contentious and tenuous time that we're experiencing right now. And
yes.
And those praise
yes.
reports
and
edify
us. And that's all
us.
We have is prayer. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. We can't
that's
control
right.
so much. It's out of our control, but prayer is in our control. And I want to encourage everybody out there listening, just pick up the Holy Rosary beads. Start with the Apostles' Creed and just slowly make your way through it. It is worth it. Endure and pray, and you will see miracles in your life that you will not believe. And I just am calling to just give you my own small testimony to what Padre Pio said, which is that this is our best weapon in these times.
It is indeed. It is indeed. There's no question about it. And that's why, you know, in every Women of Grace retreat, in every conference, we pray a rosary. We pray a healing rosary. And I can tell you, Diane, we have seen absolute miracles take place through that rosary that we pray. And we experience that in our own individual lives as well. And you're giving testimony testimony to that right now. And so, when Our Blessed Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic, it was because the Albigensian heresy was raging. And he had been striving, to fight against this Albigensian heresy that had laid hold of the church. And many of the priests and bishops were succumbing to it. And when Our Lady gave the rosary and he began to pray that, well, the conversions were outrageous. But what many people don't know is the fact that the healings were outrageous as well. I think that there's a story that says that 12,000 people were healed, in one setting as a result of this rosary. And the rosary is Christocentric. It's all about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about Our Lady. And one of the reasons why it's so effective is because of the Hail Marys that we praise. The evil one hates the Hail Mary. He hates Our Lady because it is Our Lady who crushes his head. We know that, Genesis 3:15. So, he can't stand it. And so when we're praying the rosary, it's like, I don't know what we can describe it to. It hurts. It causes pain and suffering to evil spirits and especially to Satan. The other thing is this. Now, see, you have me on a roll, Diane, because I love the rosary.
Thank you.
Every single one of those beads, when we pray that Hail Mary, with faith and with trust and with intentionality, it's like a nuclear explosion of grace that goes off in the world. We don't know necessarily where it affects. We often see it being affected within our own family, within our own lives, but it goes out from there, just like a nuclear blast. It goes out from there. We remember the horrible situation that happened in Nagasaki, in Hiroshima, and it went out 35 miles. Well, think about that. That's a finite explosion. One explosion of grace is infinitude. It never stops. So when we pray a rosary with faith, with hope, with confidence, with intentionality, it's like a nuclear explosion of grace. Grace is, there's no stopping grace. It's the divine life. It's a participation in the divine life. And it goes out and out and out, and it radiates forward into the generations. And because it is contained in the eternal moment, it radiates back through the generations. We have no idea of the power of the rosary. And it is the solution. It is the answer. It is the weapon for this moment and for every moment. But at this moment that's been entrusted to us, the rosary is the answer. So I want to encourage everybody to pick up those holy beads. I have mine right here. Pick up those holy beads and pray the rosary. The other thing is, St. John Paul II wrote that beautiful, beautiful apostolic letter on the rosary. And I just felt like he was revealing his heart to us. And he tells us that the rosary can be a deeply contemplative prayer. It makes use of a formula prayer, which is the Hail Mary. But when we pray that Hail Mary, we become dedicated to the prayer of the rosary, and we pray it daily, and we ask Our Blessed Lady to take us deeply into those mysteries. There's almost two levels on which we're praying the rosary. There's the prayer itself, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Our Fathers, Our Father who art in heaven, the glory bees, and the Fatima prayer. There is that, but that becomes sort of like a backdrop to a deeper conversation that happens with the Lord. And this is what John Paul was talking about, that you're praying that rosary. He says the rosary sets the rhythm of his life. That's what he said. And so there is that element of the rosary that becomes like a rhythm, a melody, and we're the conductor and we're the orchestra because we're praying it. But we're choosing to do so, and we're doing one after the other, and it becomes like a rhythm that leads us into this deeper interiority with that mystery, yeah, and into beautiful conversation. It's wonderful.
Your words are so comforting and so strengthening, and I ask people, as you do, have faith. Pick up the holy beads, you will see miracles all around you. And that is the answer. You told us a history lesson here about St. Dominic. I love it. The first dark time that we have had.
Well, you know, here's the thing of it. I just so believe in this prayer. Next to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, it's the greatest prayer. And that's what the church says. And it's, you know, others say it's the gospel on the string. Padre Pio calls it his weapon. And, you know, my friend Tom Sullivan and I wrote a book on that called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. That is available at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. Awesome. And, you know, and it tells you, it takes you through, you know, many of the battles, but it does more than that. It takes you into the heart of the rosary, and it shares with you how to enter into, you know, the mysteries that we're praying as we go through, not just through the use of our imagination, yes, but at some point in time, as prayer progresses, you know, meditation leads us very quickly and directly into deeper prayer. And that's where we want everybody to end up, you know, in that deeper prayer. That's where God wants them to end up. So, you know, thank you, Diane, for giving me an opportunity to proclaim the glories of the rosary.
God bless you, Jeanette, and keep up the battle, the fight.
Thank you.
We are in a battle.
we are, darling. We are, but we do have the weapon.
That's
so
right.
God bless you,
so much,
Diane.
Jeanette.
And thank you. Bye-bye. You know, and that is the thing that I want to say. And I, you know, I've been really rallying us to pray the rosary, you know, and I do want to once again invite you to this beautiful online retreat. I just know it will lift your spirits. It will I hopefully become an instrument that God uses to advance that virtue of hope in you, that virtue of trust in you, that virtue of faith in you. It will, throughout the course of the day, be making reference to the rosary as I lead us in prayerful meditation on each of those mysteries that culminates then. We won't be praying the decades, just mysteries. And then when we come together to pray that healing rosary in the evening, we'll be ready. We will be ready for the work that God wants to do in us. You know, that'll be our preparation time and also hopefully our inspiration time. So, you know, really do think about that. But hope, you know, if there's a virtue that we absolutely need right now, it's the virtue of hope. And we don't need hope if everything's assured. We don't need hope if victory or triumph is within our grasp. We need hope when we're fighting the battle. And that's what we are fighting right now. We're fighting a battle against powers and principalities, against the rulers of this present darkness. And we're always fighting them every single day of our life through temptation and other things. But right now, I really do think that we are facing a huge, huge battle. We're facing a philosophical battle, and we're facing a battle that has implications that will affect generations of people. And, you know, I think that we need to see it clearly. I think that the Lord is hopefully removing scales from our eyes to see what it is. But he reveals to us only so that we will be, inspired to pick up our weaponry and move forward in it. And our weaponry is not the weaponry of men. Our weaponry is the weaponry of the Spirit. We dress ourselves up in the armor of God. Go to Ephesians 6, read all about it. We pick up our weapon, which is the rosary. We attend the holy celebration of the Mass, which I pray will not be shut down during our Christmas season. You see what I mean? We receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity into our very being. We acknowledge that truth so that we can be shaped and formed by that truth and we can become another Christ. We do not fall victim to the snares of the evil one, but rather we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and our Blessed Lady tells us, you know, that she will reveal the diabolical plans of the enemy. If we truly are dedicated to her, if we become, you know, her children, St. Louis de Montfort says her slaves, leading us to her son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have nothing to fear. And the evil one wants to cripple us by fear. He really does. He wants to hold us in place by fear. He wants us to succumb to fear. Prudence is not fear. Prudence is a virtue. It's making an educated, faith-filled decision regarding important matters. Fear is capitulating to the tactics of the enemy and being enslaved and chained by those tactics. We don't need fearful people right now. We need faith-filled people right now. And you are the faithful. We need to rise up and be who we've been called to be for this moment. We need to wield the weapon of the rosary. We need to dress up in our suit of spiritual armor. And we need to go out there and fight this battle for the sake of all that is good, all that is true, all that is beautiful. Well, it's been great being with you today. We're going to be back with you again tomorrow, inviting you to get out to womenofgrace.com and sign up, join us for this beautiful online retreat. I don't know about you, but I need it, and I'm looking forward to it. As always, we certainly invite you to visit EWTNRC.com, the home of holy reminders. We're going to be with you again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you. Bye-bye now.